Victor Wong is a respectable businessman. In 9 years, have you found a shred of hard evidence that Victor Wong is the Matador?
There is no Matador.
One man does not run the Hong Kong underworld. And even if he did, that man is not Victor Wong!
Go testicle.
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. Episode 451 for the weekend of January 25th, 2020. I'm Scott Johnson. Joining me today, Brian, like a shrink-wrapped fake Russian hottie Dunaway.
Yeah, just like that, except tighter. Double D. Oh, hi. And in this corner, weighing in at an astounding 425 pounds of and full of glistening Mongolian beef, it's Mongo the Mangler. And his opponent, now cowering in the other corner with no honor, weighing in at a paltry 150 pounds, a real jackass of a guy and a dude what makes faces that could be best described as constipated. It's American Guy. And now let's get ready to... Nope, wait. Player three enters the ring, weighing in at two ducks and a chicken as the master of two-finger knick-knap. It's too old for this shit, guy. Well, things just got interesting. And it's over. That's too bad. Well, I've been your announcer guy, and to answer your first question, I'll have the chicken.
That was really good. Nice, tight, and concise. I liked it. All right. Also with us, Randy, how many hits does it take to get to the center of a Russian nesting doll, Jordan?
Aloha, Scott. Brian. Now listen up. I'm going to have to leave you now. And I want to convince myself that you're safe. So here's a can of mace. I know it's way too big to conceal on your person, but you never know when you're going to need to mace all of the male concert goers in an arena. This here is a taser. Always keep it charged. And, yeah, I guess this is too big to carry on your person, too. You know what? Let's just put them here in this box. With these other non-lethal weapons I've collected for you. Oop, oh, don't drop that tranquilizer dart on your foot. I did that once and woke up next day with a dog licking my face. Wanting me to play fetch. Okay, here's what I'm going to give you that you can take with you. Advice. A wise man once told me that honor is the most important thing in life. The second most important thing is alpacas. Don't forget to put ribbons around their necks. They love that.
Don't they, though?
Boy, do they.
Don't they? They just do.
What does the alpaca say? What is that?
They go, pecka, pecka.
Pecka, pecka.
Pecka, pecka, get this crap off my neck.
Yeah.
I've caught a few with an Ultra Ball.
It's a very elusive Pokemon. With us, finally, Brian, these river houses are dropping like dominoes. Ibbit.
Oh, all right. Oh, hey, thanks for calling Fred's Animal Rentals of Hollywood. Fred speaking. Oh, yes, Mr. Harlan, I've got your order right here. All right, you need some animals for your new movie, Skip Trace? Right, okay. First up, we've got a herd of goats. You say they're going to be doing a scene where they have to block the road? No problem. I've got about 2 dozen shaggy mountain goats that'll do the trick. Have they been trained to block roads? Well, we'll put them on the road and they'll block the road. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, no need to use that kind of language, Mr. Harlan. These goats will be fine. All right, next on the order. You need a bunch of alpaca. Yeah, sure, we can handle that. Shave them into funny shapes like poodles? I mean, I don't know if that's... Yes, I know who I'm talking to. Yes, Randy Harlan. Cutthroat Island. Cliffhanger, sure, yeah. Deep Blue Sea. Okay, got it, okay. Shaving the alpaca's heads into funny shapes. Got it. And again, there's no need to use that language, sir. Okay, last thing on the list, a horse. Oh, just a horse that'll stubbornly stand in the sand and not budge? Okay, anything else? Again, Mr. Harlan, no need to get testy. Right, a horse that will basically just sit in the background and not do anything distracting. Yeah, I've got just the horse for you.
Take.
Oh, man, Rennie Harlan. This is like, what, our fourth in like a very rapid succession, feels like.
Well, Long Kiss Goodnight, but it's been a while since Deep Blue Sea.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah,
and we're still waiting for Cliffhanger, which I feel like is the mountaintop, the no pun intended, the Rennie Harlan mountaintop.
That's the Stallone, and then what's her name from Northern Exposure? That was that movie, right?
Oh, right.
Yeah, I like her. Or did.
Short-haired pretty lady.
Yeah.
Short-haired pretty lady.
I shouldn't say I used
but
to
this,
like her. I
but
like her.
This, guys.
Yeah.
This is Skip Trace.
Yeah, this is Skip Trace. It truly is Skip Trace.
I am so glad we watched this. I have kind of forgotten that these movies exist. This is a genre, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a very centered in the genre example. Mm. It doesn't stray much, but it does have some innovation. And I forgot over the last like couple of years since I've seen a two buddies team up and do all sorts of action stuff. I hadn't seen a movie like this for a while. I forgot
buddies?
About this genre.
Well, Odd Couple buddies,
entertaining.
Sure.
Really? Yeah. Have you not seen High Noon or Rush Hour?
Not
or,
recently. They had kind of like faded. I haven't seen a movie like this recently. You know?
Sure. Yeah, they don't make very many Odd Couple buddy cop movies anymore. But not buddy cop.
Yeah, they've turned into like Jumanji. They actually do a lot of a lot of Kevin Hart and The Rock stuff. Those are my favorite.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, because the last one I think that I remember coming out was the one with, was it Wahlberg and Will Ferrell? No.
Oh, right. No, that's one. Too, yeah. Wahlberg was like the hardened cop and
Daddy's Home, isn't it? I'm thinking of with those two.
That's a good one.
They
too.
Did the other thing, though, too.
The other guys. It's the other guys.
Yeah, that's them too.
They did them too? Okay.
Yeah, they did that together. And that was a. Oh my gosh, that's 10 years old. That's crazy.
Wow. Is that really?
Yeah.
Are they becoming the new Spade and Farley? Like, are we going to have the uproarious comedies from Will Ferrell and
I guess so. I never saw that movie, but that's an Adam McKay joint, which makes sense because he's always working with Will Ferrell. But 10 years old now. But yeah, like that kind of thing as a comedy adventure, they're a little more rare. I think Randy's right. They don't make these as often. But here's why this movie... I'm going to just say it out loud. I hated it. I really disliked it.
Wow, really?
Yeah, and here's why. Normally, me and Ibbitter, I feel like we have very similar tastes in movies.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that's why I'm surprised.
Yeah, and I was surprised, too, after watching it. How do you feel, Dunaway? Because I just need to see if
Dunaway,
I have any.
It's Dunaway Johnson this week.
Okay, good.
Wow, so here's, really split down the middle.
Here's why I think that's true, by the way. Just a quick aside why I think that's generally true, or generally why we have the schism. And it's because... I could not get past the fact that I could tell this is one of those, here's all the Chinese money, but make sure you use only Chinese production companies and make sure you only, it has to be this kind of structure. If you guys have seen The Meg, you'll know what I'm talking about. So listeners at home and also you guys, The Meg, which was about the giant shark thing with Jason Statham. It's the same kind of deal. It's got these slammed in there, barely audible Chinese actors that are fine, except they've got really strong accents. So some of them are being dubbed. Others are clearly just, Hong Kong natives.
There's a lot of dubbing.
Yeah, a lot of dubbing going on. And so it feels like three directors made the movie and it all got mushed together. So it feels like the Rennie Harlan stuff was Jackie Chan hanging out with Johnny Knoxville. And then the rest of this was made by the... Great Chinese Film Corporation.
Tourism board.
Yeah.
I felt like it was such a scattershot of things. There was too many scattershots for me. There was moments I said, well, that was an entertaining scene. And then the next scene, I'm like, why am I watching this scene?
Yeah.
Next.
Yeah.
It seemed like there were a lot of things that were done in there just as set up for one joke payoff. I think the Russian nesting dolls, like there was no other reason for the Russian nesting dolls to be all stacked over there except for Jackie Chan to use one of them as a prop and get it broken. And then he'd look at it surprised like, oh, there's another one in here. And then she'd kick it. And then there's another one in here. And
the Russians manufacture their own nesting dolls, or is it really all done in China?
I mean, yeah,
That's a funny thought.
Right. I was kind of like,
I remember, yeah, my first thought was like, really? There's a Chinese, right, or there's a Russian nesting doll factory, and
in Russia,
all they do is make
Russia doll nests you.
The part that I loved was, I think, what was showing through in Jackie Chan's original vision of the writing of this, which was a tour across Mongolia and parts of China to really give us a look at what was there. And I enjoyed that part.
The film sets out from the beginning to be as multicultural as it can possibly be. And mm-hmm. I think it works. I think it's wonderful how from the beginning you're like, okay, all right, we're in Hong Kong. Whoa, we're in Macau. That's a different place. No, we're in Russia. I just like, from the beginning, it just felt to me like, oh, this film is going to be this big pastiche of settings and languages and people from different backgrounds. Like right out of the gate, we meet Johnny Knoxville. He's on a plane. He's telling a ridiculous story to try to woo women. And it's like everyone around him is different. And I just like, I get it. And it sets my mind for the rest of the movie.
I did like that part. And there's a bunch of trivia about how the whole thing was designed, or part of the push was, hey, Jackie Chan is one of our great national treasures. And he's like an ambassador to the world. They really see him that way there culturally. And so why don't we have this movie be this thing that really shows off parts of this continent, parts of Asia, parts of the Chinese territories and nearby stuff that you never see. And let's showcase that stuff. Let's show how beautiful this stuff is. And I think it achieved that pretty well. But I think that tonally, like the bad guys in this, they're the most two-dimensional, worst things ever.
For sure.
What a waste of my time those guys are.
You know, my like for this movie probably just stems from my like of Jackie Chan style action.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't merely sit on man versus man. It becomes man versus environment. Man,
right.
Man uses environment to defeat man.
Yeah. And the older he gets, the more of that there is, right? Because he's not throwing his body around, and you're not watching for crazy stunts where he's roller skating, holding onto a bus. Even still, right, that's what I was going to say. You're watching for him to do a lot of box throwing, right?
Yeah.
And to use things as shields.
Nesting doll.
And then even then, you're watching him, and they keep the shot on his face, so you know that's actually him. And you're watching him, and he rolls down a flight of stairs.
Right.
Like, wow.
Yeah, in his 60s.
Is that why they eventually went with Knoxville? In my mind is what I was thinking, because I'm like, because he doesn't mind doing his own stunt, right?
He gets to be full jackass in this thing, you know.
Right.
Like he gets to tumble, he gets to take falls and gets to get thrown off stuff in a way that they kept the camera on his face too, you know.
Keep in mind he's only 16, 17 years younger than Jackie Chan.
Like
Johnny Knoxville is also way past his prime by this point. This is 2016, the movie is 2016. Johnny Knoxville is 45 when he's making this movie.
Right.
And so like it's no longer like Johnny Knoxville is doing a lot of things that Jackie Chan doesn't do, mm-hmm. but they're not like impressive stunts. They're just abusive.
It's impressive. You know? Just being flipped over a fence pole. That hurts like crazy crap. So that to me is a big stunt.
Yeah. I was wincing when he's running through the casino and he falls over a chair. I'm like, man. Okay, oh yeah, God. He totally did that.
I stubbed my toe and I almost cry for an hour. So,
he apparently, according to the trivia, wasn't even initially cast. Like it was originally Sean William Scott.
Oh, really? Right. His old pal from the Dukes of Hazzard?
Would that have been better?
No, absolutely not.
No. No way. I think it'd have been worse.
I think so. I agree, but I do like Sean William Scott in playing the asshole. I think that that is his niche, and he will always be like that's your go to guy for the kind of character that
the doorman at this your ancillary character is an a hole. He's the doorman at that place where you go hire those people. Like that's the guy.
Right. Oh come on in! Don't have to do it right here.
The painted portrait on the wall in the ballroom.
Yeah,
Sean William Scott.
Yeah, he's the lord of all he surveys in that department. So I agree with that. Yeah. But I think Knoxville is affable and fun.
Yeah,
and he's my favorite. Him and Jackie Chan are the reason to see the movie. And you're not wrong about the action. In fact, if you stick around to the credits, you get one of those. You might even say they're, you know, you Honestly, I didn't expect it because I was lied to. I was told Jackie Chan no longer did all his stunts.
I was expecting too. Yeah.
And there he was getting hurt.
Did he take that back? I mean, because did he make that statement and then took it back?
I don't know if he ever really did. Maybe people just told me that.
His statement was that he was retiring from dangerous and physically impossible for him now kung fu.
But how many times have we heard band members say we're retiring?
Yeah, that's true.
But he was specifically saying that he didn't want to be expected to top himself anymore.
Right.
And that's what he had gotten his career to be, was this string of 20 years of movies where Jackie Chan, like Jackie Chan, like you've never seen him before. And he said he's retiring from that. He did not want to be expected to do something that you'd never seen him do before, and to like use his body in dangerous ways. He felt he didn't have the strength to, like, for instance, hand walk up a rope or something like that. And so he was, you know, he said he was retiring from dangerous kung fu.
Well, what's ironic about that is his level of dangerous is clearly at a different category than any of us, because he's in this thing still doing really dangerous shit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like for him, it's a relative statement.
Yeah, right.
I'm not sure I agree. Like watching this movie, I was thrilled, and I'll agree with you. If you don't like a series of action sequences, and there's like 22 action sequences in a row in this movie, like if you don't like that, sorry, it's really not for you.
Yeah.
But I felt like a lot of it, like compared to his big police story movies, I felt like a lot of it was very safe. It was a lot of people throw things at him and he moves his head a little bit to the side.
Well, it's exactly what I'm saying. It's like it's a relative, for him it's relatively tame. But for a guy in his 60s, for a guy in his 60s, though, he's still doing shit that's just...
You throw a box at my head, and I'm pretty sure he can hit me. Yeah. He's going to be so dodgy.
He's still just blowing my mind at that age. Like, that guy's just really something else. He's an international treasure and should never die and probably won't. But anyway, he's great, and he's great in this. He's what I like about him in this, and so is Knoxville. And Knoxville is there are times where I'm like, okay, you're really bugging me. And then there are other times where I really like him, and I liked him in this. I liked that he had a nice streak. He gave that kid his toy back. Like, mm-hmm. little stuff like that is kind of cool. I think they made the turn a little too easy after the Adele song to "I'm going to come with you and help you now." And, you know, that was all a little bit cheesy.
Oh, it was so fun, though. Come on, Scott.
Well, fun. It was okay. It was all right. I just kept feeling, you know what ruined it for me? Okay, I got it. Here it is. This is the whole thing that ruined the movie for me, and just I could not get past it. The soundtrack and any kind of music in this movie really worked against it, because it all sounded like stock content from a vault somewhere in Shanghai. And they were just like, yeah, people like this. This is exciting action music. Use this. It was terrible. Terrible.
I completely disagree.
Well, you guys should have known right off that I wouldn't like it, because there's too many objects that appear that never really have any purpose, or really it's like the phone itself, the centerpiece of everything that's going on.
Yeah,
it literally has one job: to present a QR screen for a laptop.
Right. Yes.
And I'm like,
the biggest MacGuffin in the whole, I mean, I guess it's not a true MacGuffin, because it does get used for one dumb purpose.
Yeah,
one single purpose. And then the watch at the beginning.
Yeah,
I'm like, what? At the end, he's like standing on it, the glass is broken. I'm like, and then the cops show up. I'm like, was he tracking? Was there something?
Yeah, what was the point of the watch? The watch is the chick in the bucket this week.
Hidden inside the watch, like there was a map or there was a chip or something like that.
Yeah, right, there's a chick in the bucket in the watch. That's what's in the watch. Because that thing never revealed itself. It never mattered. And I kept wondering, why is he so interested in getting that watch?
But I mean, it's present the whole movie, right? Like from the very beginning.
Yeah.
You don't know that his friend, right, is actually going to survive that explosion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. And I did scratch my head at the end and go, now how did Jackie Chan not see that his friend survived that explosion? I'm confused.
Right. He's a good swimmer. Apparently, he's a good swimmer.
Yeah. But the watch was set up to be an obvious trope, like as opposed to a crutch that the filmmaker uses. The filmmaker was saying, you've seen this before. You've seen this story beat where right. someone is about to die and they give their buddy something to, you know, to treasure and remember them by. And that was, I thought that was fine. I like at the end of the film when it gets busted, I'm like, oh, whoa, man, that sucks. And then, you know, he shows up and you're like, oh, you know, like it's.
I would have been more impressed if the watch actually had some kind of symbolism other than now he's standing on it and he looks at it. And I'm like, mm-hmm. what's that supposed to? I need something a little bit clearer right. with something so so talked about. I need you to like throw the watch at the friend and go, just throw it at him and go, stupid watch back.
Yeah.
You know, or something like that. I needed some kind of something there.
Pick it up with his foot and throw it at him that way with his foot.
Right. Or something that just answered the question. Oh yeah. He was being tracked. Oh, mm-hmm. okay. Or he was supposed to give it to the daughter. Cause that's why I kept going. I'm like, isn't he supposed to give that watch to the daughter to remember? Or is he supposed to be wearing it? Why is he wearing it? So, and I'm like,
so what happens is in the movie, what I picked up on at least was right. that, for starters, cops like Jackie Chan do not work like any other cops in the world. It just blows my mind that he's like investigating this huge drug trafficking operation that's on a dock over the water. Mm-hmm. And he's like, he's not got a gun. He's not got a bunch of body armor on. He's just a guy, right? Like that alone is just like, it was hard for my brain to click over to, okay, different settings. This is not like cops that you're used to in Los Angeles. Okay. Mm-hmm. But he's investigating all of that. And in the fights that happened there, and he's about to get blown up, by the way, in the fights that happened there, someone swings a knife and it cuts the watch off of his wrist, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so he has to save the watch. And so in my mind, the story of the watch from that moment is that he's going to have it until he gets the band fixed. and that's so he's like, the movie takes off hard and he just hasn't gotten around to fixing the watch band so he can give it to the daughter yet. What's her name? Samantha?
Is that
her name?
Samantha, yeah. I think that's right. Yeah.
Fan Bing Bing.
That's her name, right?
Yes. Fan Bing Bing was stunning in this film. So was Eve Torres. I freaking love that the movie was like, you know what? We're going to have them fight too. Like, of course, Eve Torres would fight, but like, it just like, right. I like that this movie goes balls to the wall for everyone and everything at some point.
Did she get married? Because her name on the, oh, wait.
It's backwards for, but it's Bing Bing Fan listed in the IMDb.
Yeah. Right. Okay. I got it.
Eve Torres, by the way, from Denver, born in Denver here in 1984, but she's a professional wrestler, right?
Yeah. She was WWE for a while.
Like, not a really big deal, but she was Eve. In WWE for three or 4 years.
And this is her first movie ever. I think she's done some other stuff since. Yeah, a bunch of stuff. Well, two things since. She was in one thing. Direct-to-video movie called Rise 1 Ignite. And then she was in WWE Raw from 2008 through 2019. Raw. So she's still, I think she's still in Raw. But she's very cool as a fighter. Uh-huh. Not as convincing as a Russian voice
as
lady.
A Russian.
Right. Yeah. No. That's okay. I'm okay with my Russians kind of being silly, you know. It's okay.
It's
for
a
me.
Little too though, like, hello, we are Russian. Like it was just
it's
a
my,
little
it's
too,
my Russian accent, yeah. basically it is really what they're is. Doing. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's just
my Malkovich's Russian accent. Right.
Yeah, my Manny. Yeah, and the other guy too, the big buff dude that is. It's Sergei. Implied that baby is his at the end.
Yeah, that was actually humorous.
Sergei, played by an Englishman named Charlie Rawls.
Yep, he's not. He's definitely not Russian. There's a few guys like. But, there's everybody and no one in this is Russian.
That's another thing. There's a little test of flavor there right at the very end. And I just fell for it hook, line, and sinker. I was never expecting, like, I was happy that Johnny Knoxville was going back to Russia and that everybody was like, they seemed accepting of him when he got there because they could have just killed him on his way in. You know what I mean? Like, they could have been really, really mad at him. But no, there's a baby coming and they're all happy. And it made me happy too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a Russian shotgun wedding.
Right? Yeah. I had no idea that they were going to spring the face of the baby on me. Yeah. No idea. Yeah. I fell off my freaking chair when I saw the face of the baby and remembered that it looked, they had, I don't know, it was digital manipulation or something. They made it look so much like Sergei.
Maybe it's his kid. I don't know.
Right? I just think it was like they just stuck a unibrow on there.
That's and, all they had.
That's
to
all
do
it to took. Pencil, yeah,
penciled in some because the guy looks like a giant baby with a unibrow.
So. Yeah, he totally does. By the way, that guy is. I automatically like him more because he's a first trooper in the upcoming Dune film that comes out this year. So,
oh, yeah.
Pretty excited about that because he's built like a cool. giant freak, and yeah. that's what yeah. you do is you hire giant freaks for your yeah. Dune movie. In fact, he looks a little like Dave Bautista if you. Squint.
He totally does.
At first,
yeah.
I thought his IMDb. I thought that's what it was.
Who's also in?
Anyway, yeah. I'm just saying, like,
oh, sorry.
That gag that did not need to be in the movie. Like, we were done. It was completely over. And like that gag got me hard, and it just made me love the movie even more.
It did me but too. That was great. That was great. Scene.
If you were tired though, if you were like, you know what I mean? If you had spent the movie feeling like, ugh.
Yeah.
These shoehorned jokes that, you know, like you would have seen, you could have seen that as just a horrible afterthought, you know?
Yeah, I actually think those are the strongest points of the movie is when they would, and that is when it felt like I was watching a movie by the Rennie Harlan that did do some decent work in his career. Mm-hmm. I'd I'd like to point to something regarding that. Looking at Rennie Harlan's IMDb and his current run of work. He's working. He's got stuff going on. He stopped doing producing work in 2014, and since then has done nothing but direct. So Skip Trace was the beginning of this, and then there was a movie called Legend of the Ancient Sword, Bodies at Rest, and then a new thing called The Misfits. Now, everything up until the post-production on Misfits are all Chinese productions. So he has made
really?
Some deal that started with Skip Trace, some kind of production deal with these film companies in China to direct a bunch of movies over there.
There's also an effect that can happen, right? Because getting Chinese yuan out of China is really, really hard, mm-hmm. right? Like you make money in China and then the money is there and mm-hmm. you need to spend it in China.
Yep.
And so it just happens to people that they accidentally make a bunch of money there and then they're like, okay, well, I guess now I have to move there. And then while they're there, they make more movies or music or whatever, and then they make more money in China, which is also locked away there. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it snowballs. Like there's an effect at work for some like filmmakers and athletes can experience that, right?
Sure. Was this in did this end up in theaters or just do we know that? I mean, was it in Chinese theaters? Was it here? I don't remember this thing ever coming out even. Until we go.
Hold that question. I will answer it in just a second. Go on to your next thing.
All right. Oh, really? We're going to look that up, are we? Anyway, he's, you know, keeping busy, the Rennie Harlan there. I didn't know he was from Finland, so that's a thing I learned while I was digging around. I had no idea.
And this Misfits thing, I mean, it does sound interesting. I was thinking, oh, is it a remake of the Marilyn Monroe thing? But it's a thief movie with Pierce Brosnan and Tim Roth, who've played thieves in various
it's a good cast.
Those guys Thomas Crown and Pulp Fiction,
they're good. Those are good gets, you know.
They're good gets.
I don't know what that looks like in the end, or what if that's he's now out of his contract to make Chinese movies. I don't know what that means, but I'm a little surprised because it feels a little bit, and I don't want to, it's going to sound to listeners like I'm bagging on the Chinese film industry. I'm not. I'm just saying, where did Rennie Harlan go? Was it like, I can't make movies here anymore, should I go over there? Yes, we will. Mm-hmm. We will hire you to make great movies.
Well, like a three-picture deal to make something for Saban. I mean, I noticed this was Saban, but I don't know if that's a
okay.
That's
all right. Here's the answer.
Thing.
Okay. Yeah.
According to Box Office Mojo, Skip Trace was released in about 24 countries in September 2016. It grossed $137 million.
Okay.
And 129 million of that was in China.
Oh.
So its widest release by far was in China. The other 7 million or so that it made, primarily in United Arab Emirates, Latin America. It was released in Bolivia, Brazil, Colombia, Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So no, not at any movie theaters in the United States and Canada or, you know, Western Europe. But it did okay. Like, you know, this is that probably made its money back and made people want to do this more.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as a business then, as an artistic endeavor, it's uneven. As a business, it sounds like it was a successful effort. Well done, everybody involved, I guess. But if you guys, I'm telling you,
Skip Trace.
If you go watch, that's the other thing. Where does that name fit in?
All right. So here we go. So to skip trace someone is to track them down wherever they've gone. They have skipped town, and you are tracing their trail to find them. A skip trace is an activity that is the business of finding someone who does not want to be found and has left the area. And it is.
You know what's a better title? Something I had to go to Wikipedia to look up.
I mean, it kind of has a, I don't know. I kind of like the name, but I didn't, but it doesn't really jump out in your head and say, hey, that we, I know what that means.
Right. Like, right. Yeah. Yeah. It'd be more, you know, Jackie Chan needs a vacation to see, friends and family in China, Mongolia, and Macau.
Yeah. And to get the definition in Wikipedia says that examples of a professional skip tracer would be debt collector, process server, bail bondsman, bail agency enforcer, bounty hunters, repossession.
Ooh, are, bounty hunters, that'd be a cool name.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah,
the that's thing. Never
there's
been used.
So many, there's right. so many movies about bounty hunters and with the title bounty hunter, you know?
Let's just put it this way. This if I was at the theater and I'm looking at the marquees going, let's see, I'm going to go see Skip Trace. Don't know what the hell that is. The bounty hunter.
Right, well, yeah.
I can at least know what that
Ooh,
is.
Bounty hunter, that sounds good.
Yeah. But it does, I think, I know what they're aiming for here because it does have kind of like that hard hitting, you know, running right. from the law kind of sound to skip it, like trace. Skip Trace. A little too sci-fi sounding maybe, but yeah, it's got definitely got that quality. But anyway, one of the things in here it says is if you are a private investigator, lawyer, or police detective, you might be referred to as a skip tracer.
Mm. So there you go. I love that Dunaway's disagreeing with the title of a movie in a world where we have a series of different movies called Django.
At least that's intriguing.
Right. Well, sure. In that case, okay. You know it's a name,
you
though.
You piqued my interest.
Because Django's...
I hope in the first act they explain how to pronounce it.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
The Schwango. But Django is at least... It's a name of a dude, right? So at least right, that's right. a thing. Skip Trace means nothing to me. Just means...
Yeah, and it's sung to you in the first... Like, the first Speaking movie with Django.
Django.
Yeah. Speaking of names, I love it when a movie names Jackie Chan, Benny Chan. I love that so much. Thank you, movie.
Yeah.
I wish every movie did that with everyone. I wish it was, you know...
You kept your last name for the movie or for the character?
Right. Like, so Chris Tucker is Crane Tucker in... You know what I mean? Like... Oh, I wish that because it's so fun.
All right. Harrison Ford would be
Davidson Ford.
Harold Ford.
Ford versus Ferrari.
Hey, you want to come to the Millennium Falcon? Sure, follow me. I'm Han Ford.
Han Ford, dude. Han Ford, Indiana Ford. There's so many good ones. Indiana Ford sounds like a series of dealerships in Indiana, doesn't it? Come on down to Indiana Ford. We got a car for you. Anyway.
What's your name? My name is Ray. Ray Ridley.
I am so glad that the world finally caught up with how bad that ending was.
Yeah.
There was a tweet this week that got 500,000 retweets or something. Like this guy talking about what's your name? Ray. No, your full name. Ray Star Wars.
Yep.
It's like, yes, that's exactly what that was like.
Ray Star Wars is amazing.
Ray Star Wars.
I love that. I'm for your evil plan, Randy. Let's do that with names. I think
I'm not because it changes the whole James Bond franchise completely.
Oh, good point. Didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, because then well,
you can only have guys whose last name is actually last name Bond. Is Bond.
Oh, okay.
There's all plenty right. of actors out there who could do it.
Are there? Any of them off the top?
I can't
of
even
my
think
head.
Of any current actors whose last name is Bond.
Yeah, all I can think of is Bond Cold
Barry
Cream.
Bonds.
Barry
as
Bonds.
James Bonds.
I just Go looked them it. Up. I just looked them up, and I don't know any of these.
Yeah, nobody's very famous with the Bond name.
There's a current working actor named Larissa Bond, and I'm like, oh, no. I would not mind seeing her as the lead Jane Bond.
Ironically, Jane Bond. They just or it's funny you bring that up because like 2-3 weeks ago, I think it was the owner or the whatever that family is that owns the rights to the
Broccoli,
James Bond
Broccoli
thing.
Family.
Yeah, they said that they will never. It'll never be a lady. They don't want to ever do that. They said, and
oh,
not
really.
Yeah, not okay. for any reasons other than they're like we want the source material to match, and so it'll always be some dude.
Well, and, I'm okay with that, but man, I was after seeing the previews for No Time to Die, I thought for sure they're setting up this other 00 agent that gets introduced in the trailer as potential takeover. Right.
Well,
the
they can have a spinoff. I mean, if they're worried about that,
yeah,
they
should do that. Make some more money. Sure.
Still put it in the Bond universe. Sure.
Yeah. Why? They've never done that, have they?
That is surprising. And there was talk that that Jinx, that Halle Berry was going to get her own spinoff series of movies.
It was called Swordfish, and she
Jinx
showed her
and the Bonds. Yep.
She showed her pepperonis in that movie. Remember? Remember we saw that?
Yeah. People have been calling for Jane Bond for like 50 years.
Yeah.
And I just really enjoy kind of thinking through how it would work. Like, how do you convert the zeitgeist of this world of James Bond over just a tiny bit by changing who the lead is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I think that's really, really fascinating. And when you start to think about it, you can understand why so many people actually commit to and make films that turn out like that, you know, like Ghostbusters, like, because it's really interesting, like, that just this one little tweak and you have a completely different set of things to work with, you know?
Yeah. I just wish that movie had a better writer, and then I would have liked that Ghostbusters movie, because I don't care about their genders. I would have loved a good Ghostbusters movie. I hope this new one's good.
Hopefully we're getting that this summer.
Yeah, it's got that kid in it. It looks like a bird.
Finn Wolfhard.
He looks like a bird. All right.
Kid comes with his own porn name.
It does. all right. So you mentioned Saban earlier, Ibbot. Am I right? That's the Power Rangers people.
That's
right?
The Power Rangers people, yes.
Okay.
And he mostly does, I think in this capacity, they're usually the ones who do the distribution overseas.
They also must handle dubbing too.
Right. Right. Yeah, there was some trouble with the dubbing. It wasn't great. Yeah. That's funny because they're a Japanese company, or traditionally one, and you don't normally see this kind of crossover. You got American directors, some American producers. You got like 8 production companies in China. Then you got Saban doing distribution. Like, it's a big international affair. Right. And I was just trying to pinpoint it because this is unusual. You don't usually see this much crossover.
The first like minute of this movie is a bunch of company title cards.
Oh yeah,
and that threw me because I'm just like, whoa, what are they trying to say with all of these names?
Yeah.
Like, this is insane. How many, like, and oh, they have really good graphics. I'll give them that. Yeah. You can just skip the first minute.
Oh, they gave that up though. So okay, you brought up the graphics. I'm glad you did, because I forgot.
About the title cards. You're about to bring up the video game style introduction.
I want to talk about those, because when those started, I was fine with them. I liked the style of it and whatever, but there was a certain point in that movie where they kept using them, and then they just stopped.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because everybody had been introduced.
Was that all it's for? Is just introductions?
Handsome Willie couldn't have been the last introduction. No, we still had to meet Matador. We still had to meet.
Oh, Dasha. So like when they show up in Mongolia and we've got, dude playing guitar.
Playing
guitar.
So this is a thing that kind of has died out now, but for about 10 years, from the late aughts to the late teens, there's this thing that some people do where you, as soon as you meet a principal, right, you go over to some highly stylized thing. My favorite example of it is in Borderlands 2.
Yeah, Borderlands did it every time.
I love that.
Yeah. It's a cool thing. I like it.
It works is the people you're introducing are going to interact with other people. Right?
Yeah.
So you draw a line and you say, later in the movie, that person is not someone for you to know their name. It's just someone.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, you at some point, it stops. And I thought that it made perfect sense in this film that you needed to like or love to hate a person. Here's their name. Here's their funny image. And we move on. And then at some point, now, anybody else we meet, you don't need to... you don't need to have the movie yelling at you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're fine. You're just like, this is a farmer in Mongolia. He doesn't need to be a big deal, right?
I don't know. I just think
I did like it though. Very video game. Very like, you know, Street Fighter 2. You've picked your character and now you're about to play him.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of another movie like this. There's like a Guy Ritchie movie that does this or something.
Feels like Snatch probably did it or something like that.
Tarantino done it a couple of times. Like the what am I thinking of? Maybe Inglourious Basterds had a form of this, didn't they? Where they would introduce the different bastard.
Hmm.
I can't remember. Like the Bear Jew guy, it was his turn on screen. It was like it would freeze on him and the title would say the Bear Jew or something. And then it was not quite the same. It wasn't illustrated or whatever, but
yeah. Right.
I don't know. It's that a it's
must
a,
not been too impressive if we can't remember.
It's a thing and I kind of enjoy it. It's got a real schlocky 70s quality to it and it's kind of fun. And the art was good. I like that art a lot. Mm-hmm. Whoever drew those. Also, I'm trying to think of a more elaborate way. If you're going to torture slash kill somebody, is there a more elaborate way of doing it than hanging them upside down and trying to bowl their head off with a bowling ball?
Well, remember,
so
they didn't.
They're
always
so brutal, right?
Right. They wanted to scare him. They wanted to terrify him, and so they came up with a way. It's elaborate, sure, but like that, they were. That's how they roll,
but
right?
Yeah, but you just get a pair of clippers.
Expect me to talk? No, Mr. Bond. I expect you to pick up the 7-10 split.
Yes, exactly. Why not just sit you down on the chair? You know, do Bond, James Bond style when Hannibal, was hitting him in the nuts in that chair. Do that. That's bad. That would scare me, and it's not as elaborate. Yeah. I'm just saying. I went, oh, really? We're going to these lengths. They're gonna have a whole bowling alley dedicated to Johnny Knoxville getting hit because
that is why we installed pulley on top of bowling alley right above lane 17 just for this sort of thing.
We buy this bowling lane 4 months ago only for this. Like the whole thing is just
we rented the whole bowling alley out, even ticket machine.
Yeah, it's very weird. Very, very weird, I thought, but it's fine. It'll hold. All right, so do you guys have any
what grossed you out?
Grossed me out.
I've got a lock. It's the friggin' doorknob.
That's it.
Having to open the doorknob with his mouth and then all of the other rusty gate stuff.
100%. Him trying to open locks with his mouth, turn a knob with his mouth in a place where I can tell those knobs have never been dirtier. That is disgusting.
That is the scariest. I'm sure that, you know, they were sterilized, but still it feels like one of the worst jackass stunts ever.
Right. It does feel like a jackass.
Let's do it. Let's just do it.
You think so? You think they were just like, Knoxville's like, look,
no way.
I think Knoxville would probably, that's probably like an improv thing he probably did. I just feel like,
oh, no way. I mean, there's no way that insurance on that, that film would cover
improv. He's like, nah, I'm just going
to
do this.
Well, and it is like him to do it. Like on Jackass, there were always sorts of situations where it was like, I'm going to put my wiener in a sock and have a snake bite it. And I don't know who insures that, but, you know, like that's Knoxville. So maybe, but I think that was probably directed.
I like to think that. It may not be true, but I like to think it.
Yeah. I mean, I used to be, this is how into Jackass I was, which explains why I like fail video so much. Okay. Jackass, when it was on, like a thing on MTV that you would watch on Sunday nights, that was must see TV for me. Like I would set aside the time and say, we're late, hurry up, we can't miss Jackass. And we'd sit down from the TV and we'd watch
it. It was family viewing.
Yeah, it kind of was.
I'll settle around the Victrola and watch Jackass.
I don't know why. I don't know what the deal was. Cause honestly, it's real dumb. Like it's not, there's nothing about it where you're like,
at the time though, it felt very new and unique. Yeah. There was nothing like it, right? Like
punk rock television in a way that, you know, hadn't, you're right. There was nothing like it.
I mean, like even reality TV in the early, you know, 21st century, reality TV was still doing things you hadn't seen reality TV do yet a lot.
Yeah. And I, as a side note, I really like, is it Rooster Cock? What's the name of their, they have a production company. He helps run with Jeff. What's his name?
Jack Hole. Confused.
Jack Hole.
Jack Hole's the,
it's always got a rooster going, caw, 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 and it's something. Yeah. Anyway, whatever their production company is, they started it with Jackass and then they've done other productions.
Right.
And
Dick House Productions.
Dick House Productions. That's
Dick
it.
Dick House Productions.
And it's got a rooster. But anyway, they've made some really great stuff. There's a documentary I loved called The Wonderful Whites of West Virginia, I think it was called.
Yep.
Yes, the Weird and Wonderful Whites, whatever it is. That's a fascinating, crazy, weird documentary. And I really like that stuff. So, you know, I'm a fan coming into a thing like this thinking, all right, more Knoxville in my life. And I just think that he and Jackie Chan got short shrift. It should have been more about them. It should have spent more time with their sort of, you know, fish out of water sort of conflict with each other. I just didn't feel like it was enough of that. Instead, it was bouncing around back to like, it's like, oh, here we are in the desert having trouble. All right, now we're back in this weird office with people going, I don't understand what Handsome John wants. You will know soon because we are going to take over the entire place with her. Like, just a real anime turn every time they'd go back to town. And I don't know, felt like two movies. Just like two movies going on.
I'm with you. I felt like it could have been some more character development. I didn't feel like, I felt like there was this sacrifice that Jackie Chan's character was supposed to make for his partner. Mm. And that was to raise the daughter. And
oh, you're so hung up on this, Brian. Come on.
Instead of ever dealing with that at all, they just went with this other direction where he's like, sure, be a police person. I don't care. And he's like, yeah, whatever. I don't even care about you. I'm still after the matador. I don't even give a crap. Mm-hmm. And
his one point of revenge. Well, that's the other thing. That didn't have a satisfying moment for me because the one point of revenge for Jackie Chan, what drives him is the killing of his partner. And he's just constantly now, I've got to do this. I've got to do this. And for my partner,
doing
for this,
it for
this.
Yugi or whatever his name is. Yeah.
they referred to as the kid from Jerry Maguire, which made me laugh.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
That was pretty funny. But, and again, Knoxville, you know, give him some good lines. He's funny. But they get to the point where it's revealed that he's still alive and he was the matador all along.
Duh.
You're like, oh, okay, well, now let's see Jackie Chan's reaction. And it's not good enough. Give me more than that, because your whole life has been obsessed with this since his death, and now you're just gonna, you're back? Weird. Okay, well, let's go fight some more. Like, I don't know, it just didn't have the impact I expected it to. After we watched Jackie Chan, you know, mourn over the loss of this guy, so that bugged me. Can't take it back though. Yeah. No take backsies.
No take backs.
Anyway,
I thought the actor who played Young, his name is Eric Tsang. I thought he was perfect. I can't get over when I started looking through his like history as an actor, like how he has sort of transformed over the years and how he looks. But I thought he was absolutely perfect from the very, very, very beginning when I saw him and he's like tied up in a bomb. Mm-hmm. I was just like, oh, I like that guy. I think he's, you know, I think he's something to think about. And so I was disturbed that he just blows himself up immediately. But I just like, it's a movie that asks you to just go with it. And I guess if you don't, like if you're going to stop and say, hey, movie, I need you to give me more substance, then you're not going to have a good time.
Has anybody?
I just settled on, all right, Jackie Chan. Cool. I'm watching for the Jackie Chan innovative fight techniques.
Did anybody see that serious movie Chan made in 2017 called The Foreigner? It was like hardcore rated R thing directed by Martin Campbell, who we just what did we just see from Martin Campbell? We just saw what did we just see? We just saw Zorro. That was last week.
Really? Yeah. No, I don't think I even knew about this.
2017 he made a movie called The Foreigner, and here's the short of it. A humble businessman with a buried past seeks justice when his daughter is killed in an act of terrorism. A cat and mouse conflict ensues with a government official whose past may hold clues to the killer's identities. And it's supposed to be kind of hard R-ish, like not your typical Jackie Chan, I'm using this chair to fight you kind of movie, but more of a serious take. And it reviewed pretty well and people seem to, I don't know. I was curious if any of you guys have seen it. If you haven't, maybe I may have to just find this and see if it was any good.
Yeah,
I've seen Mystic River, and don't need to see this.
Mystic River? Well, I don't know that they're comparable.
River?
Yeah,
do you remember Mystic
that.
River?
Yeah, it was
DiCaprio and
Sean Penn and Tim Robbins and Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon, right?
I could have sworn DiCaprio was in that too. It was the Boston thing, right?
And, you're thinking of The Departed. Days. You're thinking of The Departed. Brian.
Oh, am I?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is
one
great.
One of them has a child killed, and
that's right. Yeah.
And you don't know who it is.
It's with Julia Roberts, where they all work in a pizza shop in Connecticut, right? That one, right?
that's the one. That's it.
I regret comparing the plot of The Foreigner to another movie.
Oh, I freaking love that. All right. Anyway, what I'm saying is I would like more Jackie Chan movies, period, okay? Mm. And lucky for us, I looked it up. He has 8 movies in the works, including Rush Hour 4, yep. Shanghai Dawn, which sounds like a follow-up there, Five Against a Bullet. Don't know what that is. Once Upon a Zodiac, which Ted Cruz is in, which is weird. I don't know why that's happening. And then Project Extraction.
Project Extraction.
Yeah.
That's about a dentist.
Get it out.
Three of those things sound like something you'll pay extra for at the Chinese massage parlor.
Yeah. Right. He goes to his
Project
dentist.
Project Extraction is done.
Something wrong with my tooth.
That Project Extraction is in the can. It's coming out in a few weeks. It stars John Cena.
Oh, really? Let's see, I'm in. That sounds like fun. I like those guys. They'll be good together. Why not? Is it a buddy thing? Like a, you know?
Okay, so I'm going to give you the description of Project Extraction. I don't know that either John Cena or Jackie Chan are in this description, okay?
Okay.
Two ex-Special Forces soldiers must escort a group of civilians along Baghdad's Highway of Death to the safety of the Green Zone. Mm. Okay, it might be John Cena and Jackie Chan. They might just also be in the movie. You know, I don't know.
Okay. I was trying to find... Remember that Jackie Chan line we loved from... was it 100... or? Around the World in 80 Days, was it, or something? Oh, no, it was about the flute.
You had a Piper play the flute.
Yeah, I love that. Hold on, I'm going to play it. It's right here. I have it.
He has a Peter Piper playing the flute.
I mean, is there any more affable human being on this planet? You just want to hang with him and spend time with him. And
for sure.
You know he's the nicest dude. Well, I mean, by all accounts, he's like literally the nicest guy. But
yeah.
I just love Jackie Chan.
He is the real deal.
Yeah. And I don't like that, you know, I don't want him to age out. Keep going. Keep making it. You know, right. Even if they're arguably poopy movies like this or if you even like this one, you know, even if they're crap, I don't care. Keep making movies. Don't go away. We love Jackie Chan.
I want to make sure nothing dumb takes him out like Crocodile Hunter, like Steve Irwin. I want Jackie Chan not to, you know, a 2x4 fell off of a Home Depot truck. And
it's definitely going to be a ladder injury.
You know what would be fun? This would be fun. If we could figure out a way technologically or biologically, when we all die, like a little printout would happen. And on the printout, it would say, what were his odds all the time? Like, what was his average risk level?
It would have to be a dot matrix printer?
Yeah, it would have to be because this is how I picture it. And okay. I want it to say, look, sometimes the old stuff's the best stuff, Brian. Okay. but I want it to say things like, you know, Jackie Chan had an 85% average chance of dying every day of his life, given the overall average. But he still survived. And then mine will say you had like a 5% chance.
Right.
I love that idea just because I'd like the numbers and it would be fun to see what his are because that guy's done stunts that are just for laughs that are harrowing and life threatening, like in his heyday, right? Like he did things that were just like, absolutely. What the frick are you doing? Yeah. And it was great, I thought, to have one of these traditional Jackie Chan end credits montages. That was great. I totally enjoyed that. It's not just bloopers. It's him getting hurt and falling over and getting up saying, I'm fine.
St. Peter basically meets you at the pearly gates with a list saying, all right, you almost died here. You almost died from choking on a peanut here.
Yeah.
You almost died from...
Yeah. I want to see that. I want to break it down. I want it like a spreadsheet. I can like sort through and do different, you know, data analysis.
I love it.
I think that'd be fun. I assume everybody saw the end credits. Did you guys stick around for it?
Of course.
Okay. All right. Just making sure.
You can't not watch a Jackie Chan movie and not watch the credits, right?
Right. You just assume they'll put something in there. Aren't they all? Mm-hmm. They all do it. Like Rush Hour and stuff. They do it.
I wonder
if
probably not The Foreigner, though.
Yeah, probably not. I remember when I saw Rush Hour 1 and 2. Rush Hour 2, by the way, 2001. That's how old that is.
Yeah.
I remember seeing those and going.
That was huge.
I remember going, look how old Jackie Chan is.
Yes. Oh, that was the other thing I wanted to say. Like, so Jackie Chan is 65 now.
Yeah.
Jackie Chan 65. I feel like he has been looking over 50 for 40 years.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Yeah. And at the same time, now I can't tell. Like, he just looks so, he doesn't look 65. He's just stuck at 50. Like, he's just there. And he's, you know, he's got some lines and wrinkles and, you can tell he's not, you know, 20, but he doesn't seem to age past that. This is like my brother, Matt, who looks a lot like Jackie Chan, by the way. I have a Korean brother. His name is Matt, and he looks just like him, and he doesn't age either, and it pisses me off.
But like, remember when we watched Rumble in the Bronx and we were like, this is 20 years old. 20 years old? No way. There's no way this is 20 years old. Like, that's the dividing line right there. He went and made a movie in the Americas, and now he's old.
Yep.
Everything after that.
Yep. Old. Well, I recommend Kung Fu Panda, personally. Go watch that. He's great in that. He plays a monkey, I think. He's very good. all right. Let's do some clips. I have many. Not many. Sure. Actually, I don't have a ton.
One more note that I just want to come back to, and you touched on it at the very beginning. Are we supposed to believe that Jackie Chan just left the woman in the Russian doll factory to suffocate, sort of covered with shrink wrap, and not do anything about it?
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's why I brought it up earlier, because I think she's a magic person. Because not only did she survive that, later she survived a direct hit by a van that threw her into a bunch of trash.
Yeah, yeah.
And then still had all the spryness you need to fight another lady. So she was a robot. Okay. Well, what's his name?
I just want to bring that up because I was surprised that, you know, I mean, Jackie Chan, you know, you just got done fighting her and she was going to beat the crap out of him. But still, I think he'd like at least poke a hole in the saran wrap so that she could breathe before he ran off to go.
And how do you suggest he did that? Like
a shard from a Russian nesting doll. I mean,
right,
like plenty of that on the ground.
And then like hull it out with his finger right into the, that'd be a great idea.
Yeah. But that's why Knoxville called her the Russian Terminator, which I thought was pretty funny. He had a few good lines. All right. Here are your clips very early in the film. I don't have a ton because honestly, the dialogue in this movie is not super notable, but this is a Wilhelm scream very early. When they're doing the domino buildings. So here you go. There you go. Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't even bury it.
No. I used to like them. I think I now hate Wilhelm screams.
Absolutely. I think we can all agree on that.
Completely turned around on it.
Yeah. They need to stop doing it. Mm-hmm. I would say that there's zero reason to do it now.
Just the thing is, when you say they need to, what's the... There's not an organization of filmmakers with a standard where they send out a memo to everyone in the world making movies. You know?
I thought we just say Hollywood.
Yeah.
Stop putting
Hollywood. Obviously this movie has nothing to do with Hollywood.
Yeah, that's like, true. But all filmmakers, creatives and filmmakers, stop putting it in. That's all I'm saying.
I go up to accept my best whatever actor Oscar, and I say, you know what? I know we're not supposed to use this as a platform for our own political agendas, but I just want to say, please stop using the Wilhelm.
Oh, I love that idea. Instead of the plight of refugees or whatever, Brian gets up and says, please stop using the Wilhelm scream.
I'm trying to figure out who's going to do that this year. It wouldn't be Joaquin. Wouldn't be Joaquin Phoenix. He's all shuffling off stage without saying much.
Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt could do it.
Sure. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brad Pitt could do it. You're right.
Yeah. He could do it, or who could do it that would really make an impact?
Olivia Colman, except she's
that'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
She's not nominated for an Oscar this year.
No, but she's everywhere I look.
Maybe just at that halfway point when they do all the in memorandums of or in memory of.
Oh,
that's a great idea.
Yeah, because some of them they play a clip. Yeah. And it could be a clip of a Wilhelm scream that is now dead.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Just put Wilhelm scream underneath it.
To death.
Exactly. That's a great idea.
I think that would upset people whose friends and family really died.
Who died this past year. Yeah.
You know what? We'll mourn in our own way when it happens. Just do it is all we're saying. All right. Go ahead.
I will not mourn.
All right.
I think the Wilhelm scream is just notable because we've made it so. If we didn't, if we just let it be and people use it, we can't stop them. I think it would be fine, but we can't help ourselves. We're so, you know, constantly focused on, oh, I've heard that before. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but you're making a scream in a movie. Just make a scream. Don't use the old scream just because they're doing what you're saying is true, but it's only because they're doing it. They're choosing to put that in everything. When I say they, I mean, you know, different filmmakers like, let's put them at Wilhelm scream in here during editing. They're making that decision for the same reason that you're saying we're sick of it. They're going, hey, That's a thing people do. It's like a little Easter egg. We'll put it in every movie. Right.
Is it there at the very beginning? Now, where do we want to put the Wilhelm scream? Yeah. We could do it here. There's a fight scene here. We could do it here.
Yeah. I don't think anybody's sitting around going, we shouldn't, you know, they're not going, oh, we've got this scene where someone screams. We're out of options, people. What do we do? It's 3 o'clock in the morning. It's 3 in the morning.
If
how do we do
we
this?
Had a recording of a scream that we could use.
Yeah. And the guy above a old rotten pizza puts his hand up. We could use the Wilhelm. Oh, he did it. All right. Everyone go home. Well done, everybody. Good job, people. Like, right. It doesn't work like that. They know what they're doing. And then it takes me out of the movie. It makes me go, mm-hmm. Oh, come on.
That's
really?
The worst part.
Yeah. Anyway, we can have this fight a different day. Let's talk about bad Chinese actors for a minute. Not bad, just these scenes are real stilted. Here you go.
I just met the man last night. Whatever you think this video shows, you're wrong.
You should have recognized him. He cheated this casino out of $1 million.
So melodramatic. Oh,
I think you played the wrong clip. I think you played something from Resident Evil 6. Right?
Did he put his pinky up when he said that $1 million?
Yeah. $1 million. Yeah, I don't know. It is very video gamey. It's a good comparison. Here's Knoxville being Knoxville.
You don't want me to marry her? I mean, planning a wedding on such short notice is a logistical nightmare.
Set it upside down, too. It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love this is a huge trope. Give me trouble alert.
Oh, all right. We haven't had a chance to play this today. Hold on.
I love it when a shot starts out close up on someone's face and then you realize they're hanging upside down mm-hmm. and the shot turns over. Mm-hmm. I love it every time. Every movie should have it. Yes, even 1917.
Whoa. hard talk.
They kind of... No. Okay, maybe they
didn't. Because of 1917 is a big long camera trick, right?
Yeah, so, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, but there's one scene where there's absolutely a switch and you do see a character from a mm-hmm. different angle, but yeah
the movie apparently very definitely handles all the tricks well, but it's definitely not a single shot.
Love that trope though. Love it. And as soon as I saw his face and he looks kind of like Dunaway was joking about how he's always wincing, mm-hmm. as soon as I saw his face I'm just like, oh, he's hanging upside down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that artwork of him hanging upside down was pretty good. All right, what's this? Oh, I wrote, who is this man? I don't remember.
Who is this man?
A Chinese cop!
All right. All right, that's fair. All right, here's grown man?
I'm a grown man. I don't need you to feed me.
Oh, it's when he's doing the testicles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that, the music on the train. Was
all of it sucks. It's all
it did
bad.
Suck. Yes.
Nope.
Yes.
Disagree.
How do you like that? It. How can you possibly like that? You are a guy. I look at you, Randy, and I say, Randy's a guy who appreciates really good film scores and music. How can you possibly like this? There's no way.
Because when you appreciate really good film scores and music, you notice when people have made a decision to give you something completely different. And it's fine. Like I don't understand why this is offending you so much. Like,
I hated it. I don't mind that you. It just doesn't offend me that you feel differently. It offends me that movie thought it had good music. It's bad.
Because when you do a scene where there's fighting and there's good music behind it, you say, oh, this is action. When you do a scene where there's crappy music behind it, you say, oh, this is slapstick.
Yeah.
You know what it comes to is I was in a certain mindset to compare this film to other things. And you were in a different mindset, I think. Like when you say, how can you, in a world where there's, you know, movies like whatever, like great movies that win awards, and I am coming into this and I've just been watching like Gravity Falls and Steven Universe. And it's like, you know, like, oh, that's this kind of entertainment.
Okay. No, that's a fair point. I mean, it'll do in a pinch, but that's what I see it as, is they were all sitting around going, well, we got no music. What do you want to do? Well, here in China, we have a huge vault of terrible songs. You can use any of them at your free.
Pick any of them.
Pick any of them.
Terrible accents.
Yeah. Hello. Right. I don't know what voice that is. All right. Here's that thing we heard earlier.
Goat testicle.
Goat. He doesn't testicle. Pronounce the T. It sounds like he's saying go testicle.
Go testicle.
Go testicle.
Yeah.
You missed can't. An opportunity. Could have been a goat scrote, but
yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. It's a goat scrote. You shouldn't talk to your own testicles this way.
Go testicle.
They're not going to go anywhere. You just have to not do it.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. All right. Thank goodness they're not going anywhere. All right. Here's I won't wrote what the crap here. So let's let that play out.
There's a fire starting in my heart. Reaching a fever pigeon, bring me harder, dark. Finally, I can see you crystal clear.
How do those people know this song there? These Mongolians
here. Adele. She's everywhere.
Because it's freaking famous. Like, the only song that went more global than this is the freaking Macarena.
Now, are you saying how do the characters know this, or how do the people?
How do the Mongolian people out in the middle of the nowhere know it? They don't have a radio. They don't have their. They're not syncing their iPods.
Well, I mean, like, that's the hand wavy, like, you know. Oh, she's so popular. Even people out in the, you know, outer Mongolia know this song.
Yeah.
But if you're saying how do the actors know this, I mean.
Oh yeah, they all know it. Everywhere. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'd say it won't surprise anybody. So this is my favorite part of the film.
Oh, you like this part?
I love
it. Amazing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
What's not to like? That was fantastic.
All right. I think
it's like when you're watching. I'm sorry to say, because I realize that I'm probably the only person in the universe who would do this, but it's like when you're watching Moana and you close your eyes while The Rock is singing and you look at, and you imagine The Rock instead of the character.
Yeah.
It's like that.
I do that every time I hear that when it's not the movie. So if it's just playing, you're right about that. That's a thing I can't actually help doing.
You see the booth. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
I can just see The Rock, and I've gotten to where I don't know what Maui the character looks like while he's singing because I've got my eyes firmly shut, and that's what I'm talking about.
Here. The bod, the thing, whatever he says. That's all I can see now. Oh, I don't like it. I don't like it. All right, here's a Siberian Terminator joke.
Who is she?
She's a Siberian Terminator.
Yeah, that's pretty good. All right, here's something about a liar.
You liar!
Oh, yeah, it was the guy at the end before he got shot.
You liar!
You liar! He had a great voice. I don't know anything about these. You liar!
Was that the guy they thought was the Matador?
Whoever got shot at the very end on the dock before Jackie Chan sprung into action. I don't remember who it was. He was hiding.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember the guy's name. He may have just been a...
He's the rich guy they thought it was the Matador.
Is that who it was? Okay.
Right.
That whole bit's a blur.
He owned the casino.
All right.
Right.
Correct. That's who that was. And he took a shot, and then everyone's like, oh, this is deadly serious now. And then
you mean Victor Wong? You can't mean Victor Wong.
You can't be Victor Wong.
That thing at the beginning where the police chief is yelling.
Yeah.
I loved that. Yeah. I wish you had that. He's over. You need to stop chasing Victor Wong.
I do have it. It was our intro.
Wait,
where was it? Wasn't that our intro?
Victor Wong is a respectable...
Yeah, we did that whole thing at the top of the show.
I love that so much.
Like, I know I've heard that before. Where have I heard that? All right, that's going to do it for clips. Again, not a ton, but we do have this now. Whoops, this. The Film Sack Checklist. Rumors that Jackie Chan stopped doing his own stunts was a lie? Check. Johnny Knoxville is starting to look like Scott's Aunt Susan? Check. He really is.
Really?
Yeah, it's weird. My Aunt Susan's starting to look like Johnny Knoxville. That's probably a better
I think... I wear for both of them.
I do too. Fake Russians are the worst Russians? Check. All right. We got a Star Trek connection. One, Sarah Maria Forsberg, who played Natalia in this. I don't know who that was.
Natalia.
Natalia. Yeah.
I don't remember Natalia.
That was the pregnant lady.
Okay. Right. All right. Cool. Yeah. She was in she's in Star Trek Beyond. She's the voice of the alien Kalara. In Star Trek Beyond, the movie.
What the not the black not the, and white.
No, not her. That's what's no, her okay. name from The Mummy.
Yeah, right.
I can't figure out what that alien's supposed to be.
Oh, she is a big time singer. Like
she's a big girl.
She's a big girl.
She's a big time
singer.
Sarah
Forsberg, I'm looking at her Wikipedia page, and she's started out on YouTube. In 2014 and became like a whole big, you know, releasing several albums and wrote a bunch of songs. And
oh, I've heard this person. I'm looking at album covers. I've heard this person. She has stuff on streaming. She streams music. Yeah, okay. No idea that was her.
Yeah, me neither. Well
done. YouTuber making it good. I'll bet her channel didn't get shut down. That's great. All right. Well done, Sarah Maria Forsberg. And now the soundtrack grade. I'm going to give it SFGMTWOALT, which is stock footage garbage, maybe the worst of all time. I really am going to say this, and I know it's controversial, obviously, because we have a different opinion, but I think this might be the worst music movie combo we've had on FilmSack, at least in recent memory, if not forever. I hated it.
Wow.
Ruined. It made the movie worse for me. It really did. And I must be just way overly sensitive to it. I'll concede that, but really bugged me. So there you go.
All right.
Twitter post, this is where you guys sum it up in 280 characters or less. Let's start with Randy Jordan.
I got this right under the wire. Skip Trace, a movie about alpacas, goats, a horse, and a Doberman, and also a dog played by Johnny Knoxville, who is the perfect avatar for America here. A womanizing liar who goes overseas and starts a ton of fights and then doesn't even do it the right way to impregnate the lady.
Yeah, he never, he got away with that one, didn't he?
Yeah.
He got to have the sex without the repercussions. That's what happened there.
It was anal.
Not the way they did it.
Oh, geez. That is the implication, right? He said, well, not the way we did it. And I thought, well, all right.
One of two. Did. It's one of two ways.
It could be other ways. Sure. Sure. Three ways, maybe. Could be four.
Other ways
sure.
We don't even know of that Johnny Knoxville knows of.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
Could have been a...
Could have been with a jackass.
Mr. Knoxville. Steve-O. With Steve-O. One of the other jackasses. Steve-O. All right. There's that.
Comic-Con, need to ask him that question.
Yeah, let's get on that. Next up, we have Brian Dunaway.
Skip Trace. Like a two-finger neck nap from Jackie Chan. Also, not the brief nudity we asked for, but the brief nudity we deserve.
Oh, the guy taking a shower. I forgot.
Oh, yeah.
That guy had an impressive backside. Yeah. That's all I want to say.
Quite the bum.
Didn't seem...
You always wonder about it when you see the warning.
Yeah.
You would have thought he would have heard the three buildings next to him that came down before his.
He was trying to finish the shower real quick.
He did hear
the sounds. Have you ever been in a shower during an earthquake? Because I have.
I've never been in an earthquake.
Oh, really?
Oh,
yeah. I've never been in a shower. Take that.
All the ones I've been in were mild. I was in one while in California once, not in the shower, but in an earthquake. And then here, I was in the shower for a mild Wasatch Fault shake once. And that is scary. It's weird. It's like the tile moves independently of the rest of the bathroom. I don't like it.
And you're naked.
Yeah, you're naked. Exactly. And then Jackie Chan's running by, which is great. Oh, and that explosion where he like leaps from the dock in the fire, that made the best GIF I ever made. It's very good.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
All right, let's now do Ibbit.
Skip Trace. If you wait to pick up the tuxedo at high noon, you'll miss rush hour. Mm-hmm. But if you wait too long, well, you'll get stuck in rush hour too.
Oh,
no.
That's like rush hour also, but also that has a double meaning. I like that a lot. Dunaway, I didn't skip you, did I? Did I skip you?
No,
Skip Trace, like a two.
You're right. Okay,
two finger.
You got it. I forgot.
The nudity. That's when we talked about the nudity.
Yeah, you're totally right. We went on a tangent, and then I thought, how did we get there? And then I forgot you were the one that put us there.
I do like, by the way, if you go, you know, with any movie on IMDb, you can see what the nudity, you know, like it says, nudity is brief, and you can see, all right, well, what do they describe as the nudity? They do that with the action, the gore, the violence, whatever.
Yeah. Right.
But then you get at the bottom of that, you get a button that says, how would you rate the nudity?
Really?
Yes. What did you give it? And I know they mean like severe, minimal, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But, you know, I want there to be a button that says, I could use it a little more.
Yeah.
Meh.
Not enough. Too much. Two thumbs up.
Right. Exactly.
Too much butt hair.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's not the right way to phrase that button.
No, they need to phrase that a different way.
Yeah, we can get in trouble there. Or at least people, I guess, have fun with it. Hey, check this out. It is the alternative titles. It was almost called Skip This. Or kind of nonchalantly, they almost called it Jackass 4, which was interesting. And you never thought you'd get a sequel to Jackass 3, but Jackie Ass.
That's funny.
Shit, that's a better one. Damn it. I should have consulted with Brian Ibbit before I did that one. All right. Quick email from a listener in St. Louis. This is Sandy. And Sandy says this. Hello, guys. I was wondering if you've considered any of the Beastmaster movies. The first two are amazing, in my mind at least, but I don't remember anything about the third. I just remember as a kid watching them anytime they came on TV. Thank you for considering it, Sandy from St. Louis.
Love to do a Beastmaster.
I would too. My memory of the first Beastmaster is that one of the lady lead in it was one of the replacement Charlie's Angels from the old Charlie's Angels show, and she has her boobies out. That's my memory. Because that's what matters when you're like 13, right? You don't care about anything else.
Oh my gosh, I get to see. Yeah, what was her name? She was one of the later angels.
I had a huge crush on her before this. I forgot her name. Let's see. Hold on. Beastmaster. That's probably the fastest way.
March. Yeah, we saw Lady Hawk, right?
The guy?
Yeah, I think we saw Lady Hawk.
Oh, we saw Lady Hawk. Yeah.
Yes, we absolutely sacked Lady Hawk.
Yeah, we totally did. Okay, Beastmaster. Wait, that's wrong. 90. That's the TV show.
You're thinking of the Beastmaster. You don't Beastmaster. You won't find what you're looking for. You're looking for
Tanya Roberts.
Tanya Roberts. That's it. Tanya Roberts is still very pretty. But I had a thing for her. And so when she shows up in that, and all bets are off. I just went, whoa.
The two replacement angels were Shelley Hack and Tanya Roberts.
Yeah,
I think Shelley Hack again. That's a good opportunity for a name change.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if this. She hasn't been in much since 05. I liked her a lot, though. And she's in all sorts of stuff for a long time. But yeah, she kind of quit acting in 05. Anyway, I would do the Beastmaster in a heartbeat.
Down now.
Yeah, I would do that so quickly, your heads would spin. So the minute we can get it, let's do it.
But what would you do next week?
I'm sorry if I'm jumping. No, it's a good transition. I like it. Next week, if it were me, I would do Ghost Rider with Nicolas Cage.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, good. Nice. That matches up. Sweet. We should
I like
do
that a lot. And it's streaming. Oh, we'll do it.
Yeah, Netflix even. Is the sequel on there? Just that one, I think. I don't think the sequel's on there.
Hold on. I'll look it up.
Yeah, look that up. Because if it is, not saying we should, but we could.
Oh, my God. Do our twofer?
Yeah. We could do
The Ghost Rider sequel is not streaming.
Okay. So the Ghost Rider, the Marvel cinematic hit of the century. Available now on Netflix. We're going to watch it. Never saw it in theaters. Always avoided it. Was sure it was poo, so I never saw it. Yeah, never saw it. Have no idea.
So this will only be the second Marvel thing we've ever done, right? Because we saw Blade, or one of the Blades we saw.
Blade 2, I believe.
Blade 2. Have we done any? We haven't done Daredevil or Elektra.
Nope. All these years that all of them were streaming on Netflix, I was just like, are we going to ever? Nope, we're apparently never going to sack Iron Man. Okay.
How about the original Daredevil? Well, we're never going to do an MCU movie, or at least not for a while.
Iron Man, I wouldn't sack that. But.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. But something like Elektra. Before all of that, Elektra, the Daredevil movie with Affleck would be a good one.
I agree totally.
Do Spider-Man 3.
Oh, yeah, I would too. That could be fun because that was a Nerdtacular movie. No, we've never done any of those Sam Raimi movies.
Oh, it was, wasn't it? Wow.
Yeah. Nerdtacular's 2007. Yeah. The first one was
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's the one I didn't come to. The only Nerdtacular I haven't been to.
Yeah, and it was a bad movie.
that's one of those where you're glad you didn't do any like big event thing after it because it's like,
Do we want to talk about how we feel about that? Exactly. I mean, it was cool in the sense that, hey, we're all here and this is fun, but it was not, it did not hold muster.
Right.
And then the next year we got Dark Knight.
You know we're getting a new Anaconda movie, right? You've heard?
No.
Yes.
No.
We're getting a reboot of Anaconda. Not with Ice Cube or J-Lo or John Voight or anybody like that, but we're getting a new.
What's it called? Do you know what it's called? I can't find it.
Anaconda back?
It's probably called. It's probably going to be called Anaconda.
My Anaconda will is what you say.
That's right, exactly.
The Anaconda. Anaconda.
It's coming from Sony. Oh, right, the Anaconda.
I don't see it anywhere.
I'm in though. It is. Yeah, it just got announced on Hollywood Reporter yesterday. It will be a reimagining.
Oh, with Jennifer Lopez
is
in it.
Reimagine a snake.
What? Really? Jennifer Lopez is.
Oh no! I'm sorry. She was in the first one. It says, "Will it include her?" And that's all the articles are just saying.
Are we
going to
watch Anacondas?
Back?
The second one.
I would.
I think we should watch Anaconda versus Lake Placid, which is apparently a thing that I didn't know existed.
Shut up. Does that really exist?
I looked up the full list of all Marvel movies that have ever been made, and I spotted a bunch that I think we could sack, and they all have this thing in common. They all have X-Men and then a word or phrase after it. So X-Men Apocalypse, X-Men The Last Stand, X-Men Dark Phoenix, which will probably be streaming soon, X-Men First Class, any of those, I would love to sack one.
Well, First Class, I think, is a good one. It's a highlight. Okay. Oh, my God. Last Stand? Great. Yeah. Bring it on.
I like First Class is great. That's a good movie.
Everyone last year hated X-Men Dark Phoenix, and so yes. I have an eye open for that one to go on stream.
Yeah.
So you didn't see it in theaters? You're waiting for?
Yeah. I did what Randy did. I avoided it.
Wow.
I remember you going, and I thought that's a true Marvel fan right there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was disappointed.
Yeah.
There are a few working actors under the age of 30. Where I feel like more potential than Sophie Turner. Yeah. And the fact that it was immediately panned made me so sad. I need Sophie Turner to have a good rising career.
She'll do okay. She's just got to keep that jewel out of her mouth. She'll be fine.
That's right. Yeah. She's got a great career in vape commercials.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Mm. Picture.
And lung cancer PSAs.
Yeah. If you look at her all over the internet, and look just for, hey, where I want pictures of Sophie Turner walking down the street. Vape, 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 vape. She's just constantly vaping. Anyway, whatever. I'm not an anti-vaper. I'm a Darth vaper. All right.
By the way, remember when it was 2019 and we thought every vaper was going to die for a couple weeks?
Yeah. No, that was weird. Although, whatever. My whole take on all of that is science to figure out whether there's other effects that we don't know about yet. It takes a long time and money and isn't going to happen within four months. So give it time.
But we totally got over it. Like it was a couple weeks and then we forgot. And now we're on to Wuhan coronavirus, also known as Kung Flu. And a couple weeks from now, we'll be over that.
They call it Kung Flu? Really?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Holy shit. You know, I was in the SARS town, the town where SARS came from, the year it came out in 2001 or whatever it was. I was in what's it called? I forgot the name of the city. Whatever it is. The factory town just inland from Hong Kong. Shang Tsung. Not the guy from Mortal Kombat. Not him.
That's exactly
Shang Tsung.
Whatever it is. No, it's Shang. Oh, that's going to annoy me. But anyway,
started in Guangdong.
Well, that's a province.
Farmer was from Shunde Foshan.
Yeah. Well, Guangdong is a province that this thing is in. So it's like Shang. It's where all Nike makes all their shoes. Apple makes all their phones.
One of the first victims was admitted to a hospital in Guangzhou.
Are you talking about SARS or this new thing?
I'm reading about SARS. Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm reading about the. Yeah.
Oh, I'm SARSy.
So anyway, I remember freaked out because we got home, got back to the States, and right then all the news started hitting that in this town I was just in, a brand new virus came from like a rooster or a freaking pig or something. And
what did you do, Scott? What did you do?
I was paranoid. I was like, oh my gosh, did I bring this home with me? Like it was a dirty city too then. I don't know if it's any better now, but I forgot the name of the damn place. Anyway.
Anyway, Wuhan coronavirus. That's what, if you're listening to this episode 5 years from now, we're in the middle of the outbreak. It's happening right now.
Yeah. So be careful out there. You guys put on the masks.
Don't be licking any knobs.
Yeah. Licking any Chinese knobs. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. If you'd like to send us an email like we did today, or like the one we got today from Sandy, you can do that very easily, filmsack@gmail.com. Please send those in. We love them. We love your feedback, and it's always great to get. We're also at filmsack.com, and you can find, you can voicemail us too, 801-471-0462, or you can send voice attachments to filmsack@gmail.com. We're also on Twitter, @filmsack. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Alpacas.
We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Go testicle.